We need to turn to our scripture reading for this morning, which is from the first book of Samuel, and it's chapter 17. You can see it up there, page 284, if you're using one of the church Bibles, page 284. This is one of those stories that we think is a Sunday school story. David and Goliath. And you possibly learned this story, first of all, in Sunday school. This Sunday school story, were it to be dramatised and shown on television, would not get a child-friendly rating. I haven't quite worked out the rating codes in Australia, but I'm guessing mature audience, mature adult, is that the one, MA? Possibly the next one up, I don't know what that is. This is not a children's story. And the temptation for us is when we hear it, we think, oh, it's David and Goliath. We know that story and kind of switch off to what's actually written for us in the Bible. And we just think of the way in which we package it up for our young people. Well, it's important that young people learn the Bible stories. I'm not saying that at all. However, this is not a children's story. It's quite a long chapter. I may move around in it. So I'll try and tell you where I am as we go. But this has been recorded for us because the Lord wants to teach us something. So, the story of David and Goliath as told in the first book of Samuel, chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. Says here in my footnote, that's about 6.9 kilograms. That's just the pointy bit at the end. His shield bearer went ahead of him. That's all we get to know about the shield bearer. I would not want to be that man. You go out front. Now we go on. Verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old. Jesse's 3 eldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them." So David goes, runs his errand in the camp. And David overheard what was going on. So in verse 26, we pick up. David asked those standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes his disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying. And so David offers to Saul that he would go and fight Goliath. Verse 33. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are little more than a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." And Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. And you know the end of the story. At the end of that battle, when David, victorious David, goes back to the camp, Saul is watching. And he says to his commander, this is verse 55, "Whose son is that young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, your majesty, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." And David said, "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem, and the servants of the Lord." May he help us and teach us from his word today. Amen.
So many of us have heard of the story of David and Goliath over the years, and many of us have heard part of it as part of our Sunday school teaching. And a good number of you, I would imagine, have done so, have heard. But a lot of our foundation of faith is built in Sunday school or kids' church or whatever you choose to call it. And that reminds us again that we need to pray for the children, for those that give of their time in leading Sunday school or whatever other worship activity for children. Speaking of which, tomorrow you have a really great opportunity of coming along to get involved in the Messy Church team and to become part of the Messy Church and just sharing the good news of Jesus with children, with their families. And I think that's a real privilege, don't you? We each have that opportunity. So if you'd like to come along, please do so tomorrow at 7 o'clock. But how many of you came to know Jesus as a child? Just raise your hand. Well, have a look around. Just have a little look around with your hands raised. That's quite a number of people, isn't it? And so you see, it's vital that we pray for them. They might be upstairs, they might be out of doing their own thing, but it's vital that we continue to pray for the children, continue to pray for the leaders. Because what an impact on young lives if children can hear the story, the good news of Jesus before the age of 7. It's proven that they will continue to, that Jesus and his life and his ministry will remain with them right through. So it's really, really important. We want to pray more children into this church, don't we? I do. And just continue to pray for them. But today, whether we're a child or whether we're an adult, this story has something to say to us. It has something to say to all of us. And that's how God's living word works. Isn't that exciting? I find it so. You're all, I think you must have had a hard night last night, did you? Yeah. But God's living word works like that. If you keep your Bibles open, if you'd like to turn to your Bibles again, while we work through these verses of Scripture together, that might help. But verses 1 to 3 helps us to see the Philistine and Israelite armies, each on different hills, and in order to break the stalemate, the giant Goliath steps out into the valley and taunts the Israelite army every day for over a month. You see that the teasing that happens between our... Well, you should see the teasing that happens between our children in our house to each other. Because you think they're quite quiet, don't you? They're really not at all. But we have a picture here of Goliath being a real tease, being a real torment. Well, actually more like taunting. He taunts the Israelites. And so enough was enough. And we see in verse 32, David steps out of his comfort zone and says, "Don't worry about this Philistine, I'll go fight him." And so after some persuasion, kind of, which is very understandable, well, we have the image of a small boy, but Saul eventually agrees, insisting that David wears his armour. And right up to now, with our Sunday school heads on, we can see a nice little picture of David, of small David, although we're not actually entirely certain of his age. Verse 39, in the second half of verse 39, sees David saying he's not proved or tested the armour. It's not what he's used to. Well, David rejects the armour, takes up his stick, his sling, and picks up 5 stones from the riverbed. And he takes what he knows and the confidence of the God's presence, and as we all know, he kills Goliath. The giant who had brought so much fear to the Israelites is killed. We don't have to look very far in society today to see modern day giants that exist. Poverty, slavery, debt, the giants that assault self-image, the division of generations, the cult of self. Well, David and Saul both responded to the giant that was found in Goliath. Saul the king, who was the head taller than any man in Israel, we are told, and not for the first time he shirked responsibility. David's brothers also responded. They laughed at David when he stepped forward. But David responded because he saw the problem. He knew that God was the solution, and he went and he did it. The question today is, how do we respond? Do we respond like Saul? Do we shirk our responsibility? Do we pass the buck on? Do we pass the responsibility on to someone else? Do we respond with fear? Or do we respond like David's brothers? Do we live believing we cannot do it? Do we live believing that no one can take on a giant? Do we even mock or laugh at those who try? Or, like David, do we see the problem? Do we know that God is the solution? And do we step out in faith? Sometimes Salvation Army, and that's you, by the way, because we are the Salvation Army. You are the Salvation Army. Sometimes the Salvation Army can become too comfortable. We can become too comfortable in doing what we're doing, perhaps forgetting to question what we're doing and why we're doing it. I think we need to be reminded once again to see the giants in the world and to take them on. And that is actually what God has called the Salvation Army to do and continues to call the Salvation Army to do, continues to call us to do. Because our giants roam the world, taunting the church and saying it cannot do anything, we know. Saying it can't do anything. But we know different. If someone who has their Bible open, if you could read verses 45 and 46. Thanks. So which giant, with God's help, do we need to take on? Is there something that you cannot stand but looks way too big, too enormous for you? Remember that God can do anything. We're told in Luke, God can do anything. We're told all the way through the Bible, God can do anything. He's not going to let us down now. Romans 8:31 reminds us, what then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And how then can we fail? Because we are equipped to take on giants. David had his five stones, and they weren't flashy, they weren't state of the art, but they were proven to him. He used what he knew, and he used what he had. Do we use all that we have and all that we know for God's glory? I wonder whether sometimes we hide our stones. Are we truly using everything that God has equipped us with? I can think right now of some amazing people, amazing godly people, who have blessed others, including me, by the way in which they use their small stones, by the way in which they listen, cook, clean, communicate with young people, teach, and I could go on, and so could you. But if you're not using what God has given you, however simple, however small it may appear to be, stop hiding it and use it for God's glory. Step out in faith as David did. Another advert, I guess, but there really are plenty of ways in which you can implement your stones. You just need to ask. You can fight giants with the smallest of things, as was proven by David, and as is being proven by so many right now. Even you can do it too. Romans 8, verse 6 to 8 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The world needs encouragers. The world needs that difference. We can do the big things in God's strength. But you may feel that your gift is so ordinary, so insignificant, that it doesn't feel like a stone, a weapon at all. But with them and with God, we can kill giants of fear and anxiety. I should really do this in a really husky William Booth voice. But while women weep as they do now, I'll fight. While children go hungry as they do now, I'll fight. While women go to prison, while men go to prison, in and out, as they do now, I'll fight. While there is a drunkard left, while there is a poor lost girl upon the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight, and I'll fight to the very end. I'm sure you kind of recognise that. But today, you may feel that you have lost the fight, that you feel that you're happy to sit by the sidelines while others do the fighting for you. You may have been at this journey with Christ for quite some time and given up the fight. The news for you today is that while you're still living, you need to keep fighting. You may not be able to be out on the streets protesting for social justice, but you can fight by doing the seemingly small things that you are able to do. You can, of course, also pray. I fear that sometimes we underutilize the most powerful weapon that God has given to us. Maybe today God is calling you to step out like David and to take a risk. To slay giants, to step out in faith, and to conquer something even bigger. But perhaps right now you may be in a place where you're finding the giants in your life just overwhelming. The Davids in this place can help, but more importantly, God is already fighting for you. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still, Exodus 14:14 says. Be still. Being still means stepping aside, allowing God to do his work. Being still means taking the focus off your movements, off your actions, and allowing God to step in. So today, be still and give it all to Him. We're just going to listen to some music in the last few moments. And if you need to respond, I would encourage you to do so. Whatever you need to do, just connect, communicate with God, and listen to Him. Simply listen to Him.